A lot of people feel stuck within their health. They know what to do, eat better, cut sugar, be more disciplined, but they don't do it. Or they don't, do it for a few days and then they go back to their old habits and then they fall right back into the same habits all over again. The cravings, the late night eating, the lack of control. So the questions become, why is it so hard to stop? Today's guest believes that the problem isn't willpower, it's something deeper than that. Christine Trimpe is a health coach, an author, and a creator of Sugar-Free Lifestyle, helping people break free from sugar and back to control in their lives and making their lives a healthy, happy, productive way of living. Now, Christine, I just want to like start right away because I'm like really excited about this. This is like something I love to talk about. It's so important. And why do so many people feel like they're losing the battle with food?
Yeah, that is so relevant to my story, Stacy. I was stuck in yo-yo dieting for 30 years. So
Wow.
I know so many listeners out there can relate to this. And you brought up willpower. It really becomes a point where your willpower runs out. And like, what are we going to do now? So what I have learned and in my passion now for health coaching and health and wellness, all the things that I never thought I would have a passion for, but here I am to talk about, it's so much more than willpower. It goes really deep into our metabolic health, not to get too scientific right now, but what I love to coach about and what I discovered myself is that we have to adopt a new way of thinking about this. Because 30 years, that's a long time to keep circling the mountain and nothing's working. And believe me, I tried all of the things. So obviously, there was some disconnect there of what was not working. And again, I felt like a failure over and over again. So I had to adopt a new way of thinking. I had to step by step discover a new way to dig my way out of this hole. And so I'm so happy to be here to share about that. Like the willpower, we have to like stop the white knuckling, ditch the willpower, and let's talk about something different that's actually going to help your metabolic health.
It's crazy because I felt like I've been yo-yo, like a yo-yo for like over 30 years too. It's like I went through my life, like trying all these different things, and maybe I'll go up 2 pounds, maybe I'll go down 2 pounds, but it was like it was consistently, and I was so good. I was trying to count calories, I was looking at my portions, trying to eat healthy, but nothing ever seemed like it wanted to move, and it became so frustrating. Like, what's actually happening in our brain when it comes to sugar? Because like the main thing, I think sugar is like the root cause to many of the issues when it comes to losing weight.
Yeah, when I went through my health journey and lost a massive amount of weight and look back in hindsight, I realized, now, Stacey, if you would have told me 10 years ago today and looked at me in my chronic health state, I was morbidly obese, more than 100 pounds overweight. I had a lot of chronic health issues mounting, like prediabetes, fatty liver disease, obstructive sleep apnea, not to mention just all the aches and pains that go with being 100 pounds overweight. If you would have looked at me and said, Christine, you're a sugar addict, you should get that under control, I would have been like, what are you talking about? I don't even eat that much sugar. I wasn't the type of person that would sit down and eat a sleeve of Oreo cookies or a half a gallon of ice cream. But in hindsight now, Stacey, I can see what all of this dietary advice was doing to me and the standard American diet and advice like everything in moderation was doing to somebody that actually was a sugar addict. And now that I know that what I know, what I know, what I've experienced, my lived experience, how I help coach women out of this, I 100% believe that sugar is highly addictive. I've actually been trained in sugar addiction, right? It's hyper palatable. It keeps us coming back for more. And when I'm talking about sugar, one of the biggest aha moments for me when it came to sugar was I was doing really well, Stacey, with not eating the sweet stuff. I had quit sugar when I had my turning point moment and I knew I needed to get control of my health. I quit the sweet stuff. I stopped eating candy. I stopped eating pastries. I started reading labels. And it wasn't until like 10 months into that journey that I discovered a doctor that was helping me understand more about hormonal health, and I realized that I was still eating a lot of sugar in the form of starchy sugars, like the carbohydrates from potatoes and bread and pasta and rice. And so as soon as I got that information and was able to eliminate that sugar from my lifestyle, that's when everything changed for me. So there's so much I learned that I no nutritionist, no registered dietitian, not to ditch, not to pour anything on them, but it's just the advice that I'd been given for 30 years. I was repeating it over and over again, the same thing, and I had to learn something new that worked for my metabolism.
It's crazy. Like when I got off sugar, I felt like it was like getting off heroin. It was like so hard to do. And I think that's one of the things that, once we get off of it, I didn't have an urge for sugar anymore. But like you said, I was still eating the rice and I was still eating, certain things, the pastas, which convert to sugar. So it's like really like you have to really think about, okay, I got off the sugary, the cakes and this and that. Okay, but what is in my daily diet and how much am I eating of it? Because a lot of the stuff that we eat, we don't even realize, it's kind of processed. Like rice, is processed. Certain types of breads are processed, the grains. We don't think about all these things and we don't think about how it converts in our body, but a lot of it converts into sugar. And that's where I think a lot of people don't realize, that a lot of the foods that they're taking in are converting to sugar. And even fruit is good for you, but how much of it converts to sugar and how much is it really hurting your body?
Yeah, if you would have told me, like when I started quitting the sweet stuff, that was like March 2016, I made this decision. My first decision was I'm going to quit coffee cold turkey because I was having a little bit of coffee with a whole lot of flavored creamer full of sugar. So that's how I was starting my day. I ditched that a few days later. I swore off any candy in my corporate office. A few days later, no pastries, and again, I didn't eat a lot of that sweet stuff, but then I started reading labels and anything that had added sugar on the labels. Not eating that anymore, but still consuming what I thought was healthy whole wheat bread, whole wheat pasta, all of that stuff. So when I finally made that discovery, and first of all, I also learned that weight loss is all about your hormones, right? It's not for me. What didn't work was counting my calories, eating less, moving more. I actually eat a lot more now than I ever did when I was white knuckling it through those dietary programs. So, and everything in moderation. So now as a recovering sugar addict, I realized that even those savory sugars like the breads in the pasta were giving my brain a reward. It was lighting up my brain, wanting me to have more. So when that day that I discovered that the bread, potato, pasta were still sugars converting really rapidly into sugar for my metabolism, it was still driving my insulin resistance. As soon as I discovered that, then my weight just started dropping off. I only lost 18 pounds between March 2016 and January 2017. Then, once I discovered that last bit of information that I needed for my health, the weight just started dropping off really rapidly. So it was just that last bit of sugar that I was still consuming that was damaging my metabolism. And for women like me, diagnosed with insulin resistance, that is exactly what I needed to do.
And why do so many people feel like out of control when they're around it?
Yeah, because it is highly addictive and it is hyper palatable. The factory processed food is designed, scientifically researched in their kitchens, how to keep you coming back for more. And I always think of those old potato chip commercials, like, bet you can't eat just one, right? I couldn't eat just one. Potato chips were one of my favorite things when it came to junk food. I loved potato chips. And so you can just really, before you know it, you overindulge in them. And so they are hyper palatable, meaning they want you to come back for more. And also, it's really hard when it comes to sugar addiction. It's really hard to throw that switch to say enough is enough because your brain loves it. Your brain, your reward center is lighting up when you are consuming those foods.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's not just physical, it's emotional too, I think. Like people, sometimes, they just like emotionally eat, when, people eat when they're stressed, they eat when they're overwhelmed, they eat when they're tired, they eat when they're bored. How much of this actually is about emotions and how much is it really about hunger?
Yeah, that's a good question because nothing changed in my life until I started putting all of that together. Because those 30 years that I was yo-yo dieting, I was so good at the portion control and the counting points. I'm a type A person. I do the checklist thing, right? I don't cheat, and I didn't cheat. In fact, I did a program once through my hospital for 10 months. I drank nothing but liquid protein shakes to lose weight, and I didn't cheat once. As soon as they reintroduced sweet potatoes, baked potatoes, pasta, the weight started coming back on because I'm really carbohydrate intolerant. But yeah, so then I started tying in into my journey. One of the very first things I did was I got a CPAP machine because I was morbidly obese, and I knew that that was going to help me. Started sleeping better. And as a woman of faith, I started really leaning on my faith more and understanding how much of my mind was being controlled by my thoughts of food and my fixation on food. And so I went on this really deep spiritual journey, deeply emotional journey, trying to figure out why am I constantly wanting to cope with food, and then tying it all together with the physiology of sugar addiction and also learning how to nourish your body well. Nothing changed for me until I put all of that together. And I love that we're created body, mind, heart, soul, spirit. And when we make that connection, that's when everything changed for me. And that's what I see for almost every single woman that I coach comes to me and says, I never thought to put all of that together. I've just been counting calories all these years and that hasn't worked for me. I'm like, no, we are uniquely created body, mind, spirit. And and putting it all together is really what helps women step into this freedom journey and stay there. They
I love
stay
it.
there, right?
No, it's so true. It's so true. We really have to like go deep into our souls and really figure out what is causing us to want to eat and really look at, re-examining our lifestyle and making changes in our lifestyle because it really, plays a big role. What does like living a sugar-free lifestyle actually look like? Is it restriction? Is it elimination, or is it something else? Because I know for me, like so many people, they hear that word, lifestyle change, and they dread that word, lifestyle change. It's like, but in your eyes, what does, living a sugar-free lifestyle actually look like? Some people, everyone has their own view of it.
Yeah, for me, it looks like greater joy and freedom in living. I know when if people examined my way of eating, they might think, wow, that is really restrictive. But I do not feel deprived at all, right? Because I get to choose food from what I call God's good smorgasbord. It's the wholesome foods. It doesn't need an ingredient label. It was created for us, and we know the mantra, like let medicine be thy, or let food be thy medicine, let medicine be thy food. Is it absolutely was true for me. Like I lived that out. And so just having that recognition of, wow, there was a better way. There is so much truth to saying, I don't want to go back to eating my old way because honestly, Stacy, I carried a lot of guilt and shame over my inability to get this one part of my life right. Successful career woman, raising kids, home in the suburbs, all of the things. It seemed like my life was so perfectly aligned, but I could never get my health right. And I would go to bed every night just chastising myself over what I did again, and oh, I'm just going to start over again on Monday. I know I can do better next Monday. And that never worked because I was addicted to the sugar and the carbohydrates and the food. And until I stumbled upon that realization and put everything together, like in my sugar-free method, we focus on fasting, we focus on food, we focus on feelings, we focus on fitness, and we focus on fellowship, and it's all on a foundation of faith. And so, it wasn't until I put all that together and kept it all together that everything changed. And that's that greater freedom and joy in living.
I love that. I love that. I feel like, a lot of people, recognize, and I recognize that, Diets really don't work, and there's so many diets out there. People try keto, they try intermediate fasting, they try calorie counting, and they still struggle. Why do most diets, fail long term?
Well, we don't get to the root, right? We don't get to the root of the cravings. I think you mentioned cravings when we first started our conversation, and I can see that we have physical cravings, we have emotional cravings, we have spiritual cravings, and we're human. We want to satisfy those in the quickest way possible, right? And we're also triggered. When we're triggered and we're cued, it lights up a craving. And now what we have to do in this lifestyle journey to transform our health and to transform our life is when we have those cravings, we have to build those better habits, those healthier habits to make a healthier choice, right? It's a loop. It's a loop that we need to learn how to live with. And as we develop those healthier choices, then they begin to stick, they stay ingrained. I talk about cravings all the time. I have a free guide that has been really helpful for women right now. And it's Break the Sugar Cycle. So it's talking about that loop of how we're stuck. And it's a 7-step plan for crushing those sugar cravings, and you could do it at your own pace. It's not a 7-day plan, it's a 7-step plan, right?
I
So you
like
could go
that.
through it at your own pace, which is exactly what I did. I didn't give up all sugar and all carbs on day one and rip off the band-aid. The step-by-step approach really helped me. So that is really getting to the root of those cravings, understanding cravings, learning about them. What are they doing in our life? They could be like destroying our health, but we can flip our cravings. We can actually crave wholesome and nourishing foods and wholesome, healthy habits.
I feel like in today's society, because of the electronics and because of all the technologies, everybody wants everything quick, and it's a quick fix. It's a quick fix. It's a quick fix. But when it comes to your health, it's never a quick fix. Even weight loss, you see those rapid, fast weight loss diets, and they swear that it's gonna make you drop all these pounds. But one shocks the body, first of all. The body goes into total shock. And then you could have more medical problems, even hair loss. Many people I know went through hair loss. They did those rapid weight loss diets. Their body went into total shock, and their hair started falling out. And their body was just like, it couldn't handle the rapid change. And they ended up gaining the weight back anyway. And some of them gained twice as much of the weight back, what makes your approach different than these rapid weight loss diets or these diets like keto, this, that, calorie counting, and all the other stuff that's out there?
Because it's sustainable, right? It's healthy, it's whole foods, it's sustainable. And I don't do pills, potions, or this is how I say it. No pills, no potions, no prepackaged, skimpy prepackaged food, right? So I actually can eat, nourishing food. I focus on protein and healthy fats, and that's really satiating. I do eat some low carb vegetables. I do eat fruit occasionally. It really does. It is from the perimeter of the grocery store, really, when you think about it. And I can get creative with different kinds of recipes and make casseroles and things like that. But the thing that really helped me understand that I needed to choose these whole foods was, again, going back to that weight loss as being all about your hormones. So I needed to really heal my hormonal health, my insulin hormone. I don't even know what it was at the time because I was so unhealthy and I didn't start measuring it until I started getting healthy. Insulin resistance is the driver of so much disease, and sugar is the driver of insulin resistance. And then the insulin resistance can lead to the prediabetes, the type 2 diabetes, the fatty liver disease, all PCOS, all these things. That's the root of it. And again, sugar drives that. So understanding that it's all about your hormonal health and getting in tune with your hormonal health, it's so different than anything that I ever experienced in those 30 years of yo-yo dieting.
Oh, 100%. I know when I started going through my hormonal changes, my whole body changed, and even the way my body consumed food, it was so different. I remember waking up one morning, I looked in the mirror, and I had these hips. And I always had my father's straight hips. steps. And I'm like,
Okay.
where the hell did these things come from? And I'm like looking in the mirror and I'm like, I never had these hips before. I'm like, it's like they popped up overnight. It was like, and I'm like, my body was changing. The way I was feeling was changing. My cortisol like was like through the roof, it was like until I got like thorough blood work done and they
Yes.
all my hormones, and they figured out what was going on with my body, and it all had to do with just my age and going through
Yes.
perimenopause, and once I started to like start to get my hormones balanced, and I started to change the way I ate, and I started to really do a total turnaround, like we talked about lifestyle change, then my body started to really, I felt like a new person, and people don't realize how much of an impact your hormones have. Your whole body is run by hormones, and I don't think people realize that, like how many things each of your hormones are in charge of. I think isn't it testosterone, or it's estrogen. I think estrogen has like over 400 plus, different things that it's in charge
Roles.
of,
Absolutely. When like the insulin hormone. So it's a very important hormone. We need that to live. And when it's healthy and it's functioning well, it's moving glucose around our body, to where we need the energy and all of that. But when it's not healthy, insulin is our fat storing hormone. So a lot of women who find themselves in the same situation that I was with a lot of extra weight gain and excess weight, I can pretty much look at a woman that comes to me for coaching and know that she has insulin resistance, and just based on what she's been battling. But yeah, the hormone health is so important. I've been going through a battle right now with chronic stress, and it is like I still show up and I eat healthy every single day, and I'm doing my best to manage that chronic stress because it's really impacting my cortisol hormone and keeping me. I've been in a state of hypervigilance that I'm healing from, but just, again, habit stacking comes into play. Like I'm off my phone, no scrolling after 8 p.m., wearing blue light blockers. Like I'm trying all the hacks I can to help me sleep better. Because again, if we don't have good sleep, then our hormones get out of whack too, and the cortisol spikes and all that. So yeah, I'm a huge advocate of functional medicine for anybody that is struggling in any way like this. Just to make sure to get all that blood work done, all the hormone testing done, can really be a life changer for you.
100%. Now you lived through, this yourself, and you didn't just study it, you went through it. What was your turning point?
Yeah, so 10 years ago, again, like if you would have told me I was a sugar addict, I was sitting on the side of a mountain in the Rocky Mountains. Now, I live in Michigan, so it was really exciting to be able to go to the Rocky Mountains with my husband. I love mountains. I love to hike. My husband planned a hike to go up Nymph Lake, and the trail marker said a half a mile. And I thought, I can do a half mile. Like a half a mile. Come on, I can do a half mile. I could not go. I got halfway up that trail, Stacy, and I could not go another step. I was gasping for air. I was in a much higher altitude, but the moral of my story was that I was also 100 pounds overweight, and I just could not go another step. I told my husband to go on without me, assured him it would be okay because I really needed that moment in my life. Once again, found myself sitting on the sidelines of life, being inactive, not being able to be engaged in the activity that my family was doing. And just really had a soul searching moment. I remember just saying a little prayer like, God, I just want to feel better. Because at that point, I'd been obese for 30 years and I never thought I would be at a healthy weight. But something settled on my heart, thank God, in that moment, because I went home from that trip and I'm like, I am not living like this anymore. I am going to take ownership of my health. I came home, I made that sleep study appointment, got a CPAP machine, met with some other doctors, realized I had fatty liver disease. I already knew I was pre-diabetic. So that was my turning point moment, was on the side of that mountain. And I'm so thankful that I got to a healthy place in life. I'm more active. I'm at a healthy weight. And I've been back to that mountain like 3 times now.
That's
Yeah, I've climbed way above it. Like I went to Nymph Lake, and then there's Dream Lake, and then there's Emerald Lake. And my husband and I were just there a couple months ago, and we just kept going and going and going. And I'm like, oh, this is so wonderful to be able to climb mountains. That's all I want to do.
That's awesome. I remember, like, I wasn't 100 pounds overweight, but I was not exercising the way I should, and I was still like recovering from some stuff, and The lack of exercise and well, just plays such a big role in my body. And I remember going to this retreat, and they were hiking up this hill. And in Utah, especially in the mountains, you have to drink a lot of water. The
Yes.
altitude is different. And all these people, some of them were older than me too, and they're hiking up the mountain and they're doing great. I was the last one online, and I was like, and I'm like looking at all these people. And then there was a woman in back of me, she was just there to make sure I was going to make it okay. She, and it was just, I'm like, I really got to get my shit together. I really got to start exercising. I got to start building that strength back. And it's not just to exercise to lose weight. It's to gain that muscle strength back. It's to
Yes.
really, to circulate your body and get that circulation going, and to really, give your body the ability to really, you need exercise, you need blood circulation, you need to build your muscles, you need that strength. You don't realize it, but it's a huge part. Even if you just go walk around a lake, just any little thing that you could do means a lot, and I realized that one day when I was the last one online, I could barely breathe, and I was like, OMG. But and it's just, and like you said, it's just we need to start taking control, of our lives, and that makes me like really, want to ask you, what makes this real? Like, if someone is listening and they feel stuck right now, like, what would be the three things they can do this week to start taking back control in their own lives?
Yeah, I would say don't feel overwhelmed about the idea of cleaning up your diet, right? Because you can eliminate sugar from your way of eating at with that step-by-step approach. And before you know it, you are realizing that your food could be good medicine for you, right? And so you're going to start feeling better. Weight loss is a wonderful side effect, but the other thing is mental clarity and the brain fog lifts and you start overcoming a sugar addiction and you feel really empowered. So that's the one thing, like don't be overwhelmed. The second thing is I love, again, a reminder of how to shop in the grocery store. Think about the perimeter of your grocery store. Now, you do have to bypass the bakery corner, okay? They always put the bakeries on the perimeter too. Scoot past that corner. But really, it cuts your grocery shopping time in half as well, too. And then for anybody that struggles like me with insulin resistance or prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, the goal is to balance your blood sugar. And how do you do that? And balancing your blood sugar is going to help improve your overall health. It's going to help reduce your HbA1c and all the things that your doctors are commenting on all the time, right? And so balancing your blood sugar, think about your blood sugar swinging throughout the day when you're eating a diet high in sugar. It's going up and down like a roller coaster, right? And it doesn't have to do that. You can keep it fairly stable as you eat your meals. You want to keep your blood sugar stable. So that's the ultimate goal and towards metabolic health and wellness, right? So you heal the insulin hormone, you get your blood sugar stable, and then, through an elimination of getting the sugar out of your diet, ultimate goal, like metabolic health, like, well, maybe I can eat more fruit in the future. Maybe, I can keep this in my diet. Maybe I can still eat sweet potatoes, even though they're higher in sugar, things like that. The ultimate goal is blood sugar imbalance will help improve your metabolic health.
100%. And that's great advice, and at some point this stops being about food, I think, and it becomes about identity. How does someone go from I'm struggling to I'm in control?
It was amazing transformation for me. I remember sitting at a table one day in my dining room and I looked at my husband and I'm like, there is something really bizarre going on. Now, this is when I discovered that I needed to eliminate the bread, potato, pasta. About 10 days later, I had such mental clarity and I felt so in control and I felt like I had found the magic fountain that I had been looking for my entire life. And it was all about the food, right? And then through my journey being like, oh, it's also about how often I used to think about food and fixate on food. And it's about how, as a woman of faith, I was neglecting the way I was supposed to care for my health, right? I never thought that God cared about that. I
Right.
thought I was the person that had to white knuckle through it, count, do all the that I was in control of that. Giving up control and for me having a higher source that helped me through it, like putting again, going back to that holistic health, putting it all together, body, mind, and spirit. Really, that's where that greater joy and freedom is found.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. Now,
Mm-hmm.
you've written a book, so,
Yes.
and
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this book because it seems like an amazing book. So, can you tell the listeners about the book and where they actually can find it?
Yeah, my book is called Sugar Freed. Stop losing the weight loss battle, start gaining the victory. Now, Sugar Freed is one word. It's my word. It's my method, and I came up with it. You can actually find it on Amazon and on my website, but it is a journey through a little bit of my story, and I also share the story of six women that I've had the absolute privilege to coach to significant weight loss victories, but they have healed body, mind, and spirit too. And that's how the book is broken down. We have a section one is resolve it, like that's that take ownership moment. And then we talk about healing our physical health, renewing our mind, walking this out spiritually. What's it look like putting it all together and sticking with it? Like, not going, there's no go, like, we do not want to go back. Of course, this is not perfection. Like, there's no perfection. I talk about progress over perfection. But yeah, it's a nonfiction book. So it's a helpful resource for women who are looking for support like that. And they, one of my chapters is called Craving All the Wrong Things. Like, we talked about cravings already, but if they go to my website, christinetrimp.com, they can get that free chapter. So they can just get a little taste of what my book is. Start with the free sample. And then also that Break the Sugar Cycle guide, the 7-step plan to crush sugar cravings, is I've been getting a lot of great feedback on that. It's really been helping people like
I love
take
that.
that first step. What does that first step look like?
Yes.
I lay it all out. And in that guide too, I talk a lot about the new US dietary guidelines. Like, I
I love
weave
that.
that in too on how that's going to be so helpful for America, Western civilization, to start beating back this obesity epidemic.
Yes, that is a topic that we really need to talk about and really bring awareness to for people. So tell us about your services and the things that you do to help other people.
Yeah, well, I have the Sugar Freed method, and I have several ways for people to connect with me through that. One being my book, and then I have a 21-day sugar free detox that I take women through. And from there, then they can go into my full 13-week program for the full sugar freed method. And it's me, I'm the coach. Like, this is my baby, this is my passion. I love seeing these women be set free. So is group coaching. Did you know there's a lot of scientific evidence that women are more successful when they're in a group coaching environment? And so that's why I love the aspect of group coaching and getting us all together. Because I always tell women, like, hey, I understand. I know where you're at. I know where you've been. Give me, I know what all that secret eating and all the shame and all, I know what that's all about. So I know where you are. I know where you've been, and I know where you want to be. And I want to help you get there.
I love that. And I find group co coaching to be very enlightening. Like I belong to two different group coaching and it's so nice because it's a nice size group, not too big, not too small. Everybody has, some really valuable input to put in and you get aspects from all different angles. And it's like when the class is over, it's like I feel very enlightened and it's also you're picking up on everybody's energy and you
Yes,
all have the
yes.
same type of energy. You're all on the same page together and you're all there to help each other. And it's
Right.
just, I find it very, very beneficial. I like group coaching. I think it's a great, great way to accomplish the goal that you're focusing on achieving. I really do. Really
Yeah,
do.
absolutely. I love it. And we, like some group coaching weeks, we have tears. We have celebrations. We all get each other, and we understand the heavy weight of carrying obesity for so many years. And I'm not just talking about the pounds. I'm talking more about the shame and the guilt. And we just lay that all down. There's no shame. because I found that I was given bad advice for so many years for someone like me. Someone with insulin resistance does not need to be told to count my calories, right? I need to understand what's going on with my insulin hormone and my blood sugar, and that's where the magic is, and that's what set me free.
And I think that could be episode three because you know what? That's like one of the main things too. It's like,
Yes.
you know, I love how people love to give other people advice when they haven't walked through that person's shoes, but yet they have, you know, advice to give to that person. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't, and you know that, and so many people go through shame and they go through, you know, feeling inadequate and they feel indifferent and they feel stigmatized by society. And, you know, these are things that we shouldn't feel, you know, and, you know, we shouldn't be judged on the outside. We should be judged on the inside, you know, and in our society, we have labelized individuals according to certain things. And it's not right. It's not
No.
right, you know. And
Yeah.
you know, that's something that needs to be addressed. And I think there's strategies and tools that need to be put out there and make awareness to others too, you
Yeah,
know.
I write quite a bit about that in my book because it's really interesting to me, Stacy, how differently I'm treated in society now as a thinner woman than when I was a morbidly obese. I hope that we can all do better, right?
I think, you know, I think it's a long haul and not just in obesity, but in a lot of different areas. You know, I think as long as we bring awareness, long as we make people aware of how they're affecting other people by doing or saying the things they do, maybe they'll think twice. Maybe they'll realize that, hey, you know what? I didn't realize I was affecting the other person in that sense. And maybe they'll stop and think before they say something. And maybe they'll have some more compassion towards others and they'll see people through a different pair of eyes, you know, and it's going to take time. But if we have people like yourself who bring this to the surface, you know, maybe we will start opening up people's eyes and making people aware that, you know, that certain things aren't right. And that stigmatism needs to be, you know, it needs to go away because we can't judge people according to what they are on the outside. You have no idea what that person's gone through in life and why, you know, what's causing the obesity or the extra weight or, you know, and what by saying certain things, what you're causing that person inside. So,
Yeah, they don't yeah, they don't need to carry any extra weight. We do a good at, like I always say that I did a great job myself. I didn't need anybody else sabotaging me because I was really good at self-sabotage. Yeah, it's a very sensitive place to be for sure.
For sure. Now, where can people find your book?
So my book is available on Amazon and my website, which is by my name, christinetrimp.com. And I'm sure you'll have all that in the show notes because my name is spelled a little differently. It's TRIMPE. But the book is available on Amazon and you can grab it there.
And if people are interested in your group coaching and they're interested in you know, working with you, they can go directly on your website. Is that the best place to go to?
Yes, I actually have a weight loss tab, drop down tab. They can connect with me there on the website. And then the Break the Sugar Cycle. I forgot to give the website address for this. It's simple. It's just breaksugarcycle.com. So they go to breaksugarcycle.com. They can grab that 7-step plan.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, this is amazing. If you could tell people one thing that you want them to remember from our conversation, what would be one of the most important factors that you want people to walk away with today?
Someone that may be just like me, just like old Christine, I love to look them in the eyes and tell them, this is not your fault, right? This is not your fault. And when I heard Dr. Jason Fung say that on a video, that is what changed my life, really. I got tears in my eyes and I finally understood that the advice that I'd been given for so many years, not to fault the doctors, dietitians, or anything, they're just practicing the diet nutrition that they were taught. Right. But for women like me, hearing something like this is not your fault, and then being able to take that and say, okay, I know this is not entirely my fault, but I know it's my responsibility to do something about it. So if you could hear that, anybody listening that is stuck, like old Christine was stuck for 30 years, just hear that. This is not your fault. And there's so much hope out there for healing.
I agree. I agree. And for the listeners out there, this isn't just about sugar. It's about control, energy, confidence, and how you show up in life. You know, Christina, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show today. It's not easy sometimes to share our stories. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, that it takes a lot of courage to open up and to share our stories. And not only did you know, go through life, you took everything that you went through, you did something about it to improve your own life, and now you're helping others improve their life, which is so special and so wonderful. So I just want to give you kudos for everything that you're doing and for all the people that you're helping. And I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today and to help others who are listening that are going through very similar situations.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a joy to be here with you, Stacy.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too.